The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're out of here.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Happy New Year. It's our first show of the year. And we're starting with our first guest because our first show of the year, we're starting 15 minutes late. There was some kind of a technical glitch. So Matt, hello. Sam Tripoli, thanks for being here. How you doing, man?
Nice. Thanks for having me. Jim, good to talk to you again. How are you, buddy? It's been a while.
It has been a while. And again, sorry for the delay. We don't know what happened. Matt and I were frantically texting each other. Matt's like, Sam's going to fucking think we blew him off. So
yeah, I mean, we're comedians. Like, it's amazing anything even starts at all. So, I mean, I'm cool with it. I mean, this is where we are now, that we're actually upset that something starts 15 minutes late. We're so professional now.
Isn't it weird?
Scumbags and outlaws.
It is weird, right?
Yeah. Think of professional or unprofessional. Jimmy, I'm on here. I go, Sam, I go, when was the last time you were on, man? I feel like we just talked to you. And he's like, this is the first time I was on. I'm like, oh, fuck. I just seen him on Rogan is what happened. And not to mention, Sam, I used to get hit a little bit. I might smoke a little reefer. I don't know. I just felt that we had a conversation. We have his comedian friends on all the time. We got, I don't know, you know, the great Rich Voss?
Yeah, of course. The legendary Rich Voss, that guy? Yeah, of course.
Everyone knows Voss.
Everyone knows Voss. Love his wife. She's the funniest person out there.
She's a comedian also.
She's mean.
My McFarlane's an assassin.
Yeah, she's mean?
Oh, she's a rotten. She's a rotten one.
I saw her on the roast. There was a roast of who the fuck was it? The roast of
Anthony Bourdain.
There you go. That was fucking hysterical, Jimmy. You were on there.
But what?
On the roach of the roach, the roast of Rich Voss.
Yes.
And the wife hosted it. And you were on it. Damn, I love meeting fucking comedians. Now, do you
love
do you,
it?
Do you watch MMA at all?
I love MMA, dog. I go on the road with Eddie Bravo, bro. We do a show together called the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night, and we just go out and him and I, and I get to hang out with Eddie Bravo, who's like the Mexican Jamie Foxx, who's like just like multi-talented and everything. Oh, and we go on the road and we just talk shit, and it's great.
Does he do stand-up?
Yeah, and he's really good at it, bro. It's like, it's scary how good he is at stand-up.
He's got a unique mind.
Yes, he does.
Well, he started early, man. And I started, like, I knew him back in the day before even Joe was on Fear Factor. And they would be hanging out at the Comedy Store. And Joe got Fear Factor. And then, like, he went down to Abu Dhabi, I think it was. Is that where he tapped the Gracie? And then he blew up. So
yes.
Hoyle he started Gracie. His new school. And I was one of his original students. And then I peaked at tapping Keenan Ivory Wayne's out. I tapped him and I called it a day, dog. I was like, I'm not doing no, I'm out.
Do you train jiu-jitsu anymore or no?
I'm going back, bro. I stopped. I take Krav Maga now, dude. That's why
I want to ask about that. Now, why are you taking Krav Maga over jiu-jitsu? Especially friends with a pioneer and a legend like Eddie Bravo. Not that that should influence you to do more jiu-jitsu, but why do you want to do Krav Maga above jiu-jitsu?
Well, I mean, the reason I stopped at jiu-jitsu is because I'm the most least limber human being in the world. I'm like a Lego guy. That's like how I have no flexibility at all. My best friend, Scott Ross, who owns 10th Planet Ventura, that guy's like rubber, dog. He was choking out everybody. I got nothing. So I enjoy striking and working out, and I need somebody to yell at me to actually work out. Because if I'm by myself, I'll just scroll and look at b-holes on Instagram the whole time. So I need somebody who actually like tells me what to do. I love striking, and Krav Maga's great. But I'm going to go back. I'm signing up, me and my buddy. I'm going back to 10th Planet, and I'm going to start doing it. And with no expectations of just like taking my time.
How long did you do it for originally when you one of those original students, and how long did you stick with it?
Maybe a year, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And my buddy went 10 years, just got his black belt.
And Keenan was one of his original students?
Yeah, well, no, for like two classes he showed up, and then he stopped coming.
Oh,
he got tapped
okay.
by a white guy, probably didn't get a lot of street cred.
Hey, do you ever look at it like, you know, like I look at the way I look at Bitcoin, like, fuck, man, if only I had known then, like, did you ever wish that you had stayed with it? Like, fuck, where would I be now if I had?
100%. I'd probably have a black belt. That's my goal in life. I almost got a black belt in JKD. Well, I got to brown belt. I was supposed to take the test in brown belt, but I had my prom that day, and I brought this chick I thought was going to put out because I was dying to lose my virginity.
Sure.
And a true story is she left me at the prom to go home and bang a 10th grader, and I still hold on to that. I'm not going to say her name for legal, but
sure.
I remember that, Janice. I remember that.
She knows who she is.
You know who she is.
That's hysterical. And wait a minute. You're saying you were going to get a black belt in Jeet Kune Do?
Yeah, JKD, dude, back in the day, dude, Bruce Lee's martial arts.
I don't think there is there belts in that?
Yeah, well, when I was going, they were giving out belts.
Who the fuck is that guy? Who was teaching over there? Huh?
Hey, who, man.
I want to know this guy.
Got black belt in JKD, dog. I don't really? Know, man. They were. It was like martial art. It was like mixed martial arts before mixed martial arts, dude. Like, they were, like, taking, like, Filipino, Kali, and Thai boxing.
Sam, don't get me wrong. I know what the fuck JKD is. I know what Jeet Kune Do is. It's from, say, I know Bruce Lee made it up. No,
right.
Hey, listen, their motto is no way as the way, you know?
100%.
Bruce Lee.
They, you know, like, Bruce, dude, like jiu-jitsu wasn't around like it was now. Like, we're talking like 88, 89. Like, jiu-jitsu wasn't around like it is now. MMA wasn't around like it was. Like, where I was from, there was like, JKD or Y Karate. That was it.
Let's make this clear. I'm not shitting on Jeet Kune Do. I like Jeet Kune Do very much. I'll shit on Taekwondo a little bit. But anyway, my point is this. Jeet Kune Do, I guess maybe their instructor, because Ray Longo. You ever hear the great Ray Longo?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That is fucking great. I like that you heard of him. I'm not going to tell him because he gets a big head. But Ray Longo, he makes fun of me. Because, you know, I do jiu-jitsu. I give out belts. I call my black belts Jedis. And he's like, yeah, you gave a belt. Did you have a little party for you? You know, he's like, he's such an old school guy. He doesn't give out belts because in Jeet Kune Do, in his fucking line of, I don't know if Dan Asanto did it, but I know that Longo would always goof him. I go, Longo, you know, cut the shit. But anyway, so I was surprised.
Is belts a Western thing?
I don't know.
They wear them in movies, don't they? Don't they wear them in all those old karate movies? Don't they have like black belts? Am I crazy to have remembered that? Like, isn't that one of those things that you'll watch those old films and they all have a black belt on?
Can't just be a Western thing. I think it's, but Jeet Kune Do was so against the traditional structure of martial arts. Jeet Kune Do, Sam's 100% right. It was, Bruce Lee was saying no one art is the best. You know, when you mix together, you take the best of this and that. He was doing arm locks and fucking Enter the Dragon. This is all true shit. You know what
One
I mean?
Of my favorite comics is Ian Edwards, and he has the best joke about Bruce Lee in those movies, about like how he would always go to somebody's dojo and just light up their master. But you know, like it was someone's first day at that school and he just wanted to learn how to fight. Wait. And he's like, dude, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna get a bunch of chicks. And this guy comes in and just starts beating everybody up, going through the black belts and the brown belts. And it's like the guy's first day.
Watching his master get the shit kicked out of him by Bruce Lee.
I have daughters. I can't wait to get them into like to jiu-jitsu and all that stuff. But I'm really excited to start teaching them that, like watching Bruce Lee flicks with them. Like I'm really excited to introduce them to old Bruce Lee movies.
I don't. That might be a hard watch for them.
No. My one daughter's gonna already ripping limbs. She's only 2.5.
How old are your daughter? How old and how many daughters do you have?
I have twin daughters, and they're almost three.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. Yeah. I have three daughters, 13, 11, and 9, and they're all training jiu-jitsu. They're all gray belts. And, oh, yeah, man, they put it on their boys, man.
You've got to get your kids into jiu-jitsu because everybody's taking jiu-jitsu now. She's going to go to school, and they're just going to get choked out. Like, everybody – and, like, here's the thing. Nobody stops fights anymore. Everyone just gets their phone out and yells world star the whole time.
That's right. That's what Jimmy does.
Yeah.
On the subway.
As I'm getting my ass kicked, I'll hold the phone. I might as well get a viral click. I didn't even realize you were training martial arts or new martial arts until like we get a prep sheet, Sam. You know how it is. You get a little prep sheet. And I glanced at it. But when it's another comedian, I never really look too much just because it's another comic. And I figure we have enough things in common. But so if a guy, like if you're being heckled or if something happens at a club and a physical altercation takes place, what style do you think you're going to, what's instinctively going to be your way of fighting him?
I mean, like, I've been taking striking my whole life, whether it's Thai boxing or, you know, JKD, or I've been doing Krav Maga for a little while now. And I mean, I just like survive in advance. That's really what it is, man. Just like make sure your defense, how to get out of there with the least amount of damage and fucking go, bro. It sucks now with stand up that's a thing now. Like, are you going to run? Dude, there's a true story. If you ever want to go on YouTube, look up like San Diego biker versus San Diego cop. That guy one time heckled me, the biker, and he had been kicked out of California for like a year because the cops had surrounded him and he was like pouring like vodka on himself while they were tasing him. And him and his wife decided to come to a comedy show in San Diego. And she was just as crazy as he. There's a whole story about them at a Christmas party and some chick looked at her guy and she like took her hand and started smashing against the table. So he's heckling me and I'm getting weird. I could tell like he's got that prison strength where he just looks like he's been like throwing cinder blocks forever. Yeah. And he's heckling at me. And I'm like, this might be go time. So I go, okay, come up on stage and I challenge him to a sexy dance competition, right? On stage, because I'm not going to fight this guy. And anything right. I say to him just enrages him and empowers him. So I used to have this closing move called the reverse skull hump, where I take a chick, I'd reverse skull and hump her. And so that's how I beat the guy. And I got off stage. He thanked me. He admitted I won and he left. And the guys ran up to me and they're like, you have no clue who that is. That guy was banned from California for like a year because the cops were tasing him. I was like, damn, dude. And so, yeah, I mean, it's everybody's doing these reaction videos now on YouTube Instagram in terms of dealing with hecklers. And I wonder, and I'm not above that. I have a couple of those out as well. But I wonder if that's encouraging people to heckle people at the comedy club.
Well, I mean, you got to thank Will Smith a little bit for that shit. You know what I mean? That's why you got to be ready. You got to be, everybody's got to be fucking ready, whether Krav Maga or Jimmy's Tiger Showman's fucking karate.
Stopped going because it closed.
Yeah, well, Jimmy could find another one. He's in the citizen, a jiu-jitsu school every other block. But listen,
I know, I'm just lazy. I'm lazy.
Matt, let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
How many steps away would you allow Will Smith to get before you get in a position to defend yourself?
Steps away or steps
like away? If you're there doing the monologue Will Smith is walking towards you after you just did a joke about his wife and there is history between you two, at what point do you just even just go, oh, hey, like you're going to fake like high five him in case he does something? Like,
so what I see, what I hear, what I'm hearing right now, Jimmy, is victim blaming. You're blaming Chris Rock. You're saying
I'm not at all. I'm just saying, how long do you let, how close you let him get before you start to go, what am I going to, okay, is something going on here?
Sam, I didn't know there was history before that with them. But obviously, if you know as a martial artist, you're not staying square. You're definitely not putting your face out and putting your hands behind your back. So obviously, I think Chris was as shocked as everybody. I mean, come on, dude. That is free. Maybe he thought he was going to come up and I don't know what the fuck he thought.
I think he might have thought that Will Smith was doing some weird, like, hokey TV bit. Because it probably just doesn't occur to you that the biggest star in Hollywood is going to slap you on live television at the Oscar. Like, you just, there's nothing in your life that prepares you for that possibility.
I've been swung on and had stuff thrown at me so much that I would automatically assume something's about to
go down. Assume bad shit's going to happen. Even if it was good shit, you're like, this could be a problem.
You angle your body, first of all. If you ever watch those world stars, the guy, before somebody gets hit, I go, okay, this is the guy that's going to be the highlight right here. The one that's totally square. I go, hey, what do you mean? You got a problem? No. You got to angle yourself. You angle yourself. That way, God forbid he throws something, you can either clinch him or you can cover your fucking chin and come back with a right or a clinch.
Right. That's all I'm saying. I love Chris Rock. He's one of the best. He's in the talk with the greatest ever do it.
Yeah.
And I was talking around.
But it's like, I wouldn't let that guy get that close. I'm like, whoa. Let's have a discussion here. Are we going to sing duets right now? What are we doing?
I've only had one thing thrown at me. I think it was like in like the 90s in Lodi, New Jersey, somebody threw an ashtray at me. But I've had very few physical confrontations. But it's like you sense it when it might go sideways. And because like you can at least fight. I can't fight. So like, I guess I'm hypersensitive to it. I've kind of diffused it before it gets to that point. But I know if I could fight, I would probably have let it go further a few times. But there's a few times I just kind of sidestepped it. And you know what I mean? You turn on yourself or you do something silly.
The worst is some of these kind clubs don't even have security anymore.
Yeah.
They're like, they got these like emo comics who want to be comedians and they're the bouncers with their like My Chemical Romance haircut and black nails. Like they're going to do something. And I've had so many people, this is a true story. I was doing stand up with Eleanor Kerrigan and like, you ever had those shows where you're like, oh, I'm going to crush. And then you go up and it's just weird. And you're like, why am I not connecting with you? Because everyone before me just crushed. So I was doing this Ventura Harbor Comedy Club and everybody is crushing. My friend David Deary's crushing. Eleanor Kerrigan went up and crushed. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be so great. So I walked up and I'm doing sales and it's just not connecting. I'm like, what is going on here? I thought this was going to all work out. Well, I've been watching this dude heckle everybody. And I was like, okay, if this guy's going to heckle me, I'm going to light him up. And I made some joke about a bunch of guys running trains on his lady, and he didn't appreciate it. He was about 80 years old, right? And he's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And I'm like, I thought it was a joke. So I'm like walking. He's like walking to the stage. He can't find how to get on stage. But I thought it was a joke. So I start helping him find the stage to walk up because I thought it was a joke. So I laughed about it. I looked up, and he's on stage.
Oh, this is great.
And I'm like, I looked at him, and then I looked at the crowd going, is this happening? And everybody had their phones out. And I'm like, okay, now I can't get knocked out by an 80-year-old. So then I'm about to like size him up going, hey, dog, I don't want any of this. Guess who comes and bounces him? Eleanor Kerrigan is the bouncer of the club. The female comic on the show grabs him off stage. And then they had to wake the owner up who was sleeping in his office to come and bounce the guy.
Yeah, that's how it is, and it's very frustrating. There used to be a guy at the Comedy Cellar, and he was a Palestinian guy, and I loved him. He would shut people up. If you coughed, he'd go, hey, shut the fuck up. He was the best bouncer in any comedy club. He was unreasonably harsh on the audience, and the comedians loved it because it was never going to be a fucking problem while you were on stage.
I love New York. I grew up in upstate New York and then I moved to Vegas for a while. And then I've been in LA for a long time. And there was always this battle between, you know, New York and LA, and New York would be like, LA sucks. And LA is like, we don't care. Right. This was like this whole thing, like LA wouldn't care forever, but there's been like a giant, you know, talent drain out here. Like a lot of people left after COVID.
Yes.
And, like Rogan left. And when Rogan left, it became like Game of Thrones where the fat king died and chaos breaks out and like everyone's acting out of pocket. So I recently got to do Legion of Skanks New Year's Eve at the Comedy Store. And it was like a lot of fun to hang out with a bunch of New York City comics. And I realized like how bad LA's gotten by hanging out with these guys. And it's just gotten like really bad. And I miss like the edginess and the people shit talking each other that you get from New York that you no longer get in LA. It's gotten really, really weird.
Yeah, you need people who will make fun of you. It makes you it gives you a little more self-awareness when you have people around you who will mock you or who will shit on you. It does kind of keep you in check, because you know I know that I'm not being fucked up because people are not reacting to me like I'm fucked up. You know what I mean? Because I know they will if I am. So yeah, it just kind of gives you, I think, a sense of I know when I'm doing okay because nobody's attacking me. And your thing too, like, you're known, do you get bothered being known as a conspiracy guy? Like, because I always wondered if guys who go in a conspiracy, I don't want to say a direction, but who believe in it, hate being identified with it, or do you kind of embrace
it? No, I love it. I really do. It's fun. It's
what's your favorite one? Is there one that you just like, that you like to mentally deep dive on, or what's the most fun one for you?
Hidden history. How basically they've completely rewritten all of our history, and what is up is really down. And so, you know, like, I love that, going back and like finding out what might have really happened. And like, the timeline of America is completely off, and it's like Columbus didn't discover jack shit. Okay. So like, once you start getting into that, it gets really interesting. And like, who was here in America, how long they've been here. Then you get start getting stuff like Tartaria, which a lot of people haven't heard of. And if you really want to have a fun moment, go into like the world fairs of the 1800s and all the stuff that went on with that and how weird that whole story is. And so I really enjoy that. And once you start getting into any one conspiracy, you start going, okay, what else are they lying to us? And then you just go all the way back. And then you just start realizing we live in a haunted house and they're just like trying to scare us all the time. And then that's it.
I agree that there's a lot. There's some conspiracy theories where I'm like, hey, man, there might be something to this, might be something to that. Let me ask you about a big one, because I know you hang out with Eddie. The Earth, round or flat, and I'm not being a dick. Listen, Jimmy will tell you. You might be surprised. I'm not a genius. I'm good in jiu-jitsu, and I can be a little silly. I'm not a comedian. But I don't know what the fuck we're on. I'm assuming that everybody always told me it's a fucking round ball. But you tell me, Sam, and it's not going to discredit anything from your Krav Maga to your stand-up.
You want to know what I think? What I think is, I don't know. That's what I think. I think if you start getting into everything that they've told us, if you're asking me what I really believe, I believe there's no reality. There's only perception, and you find what you want to see. And I could have a flat earther on here and somebody believes it's a ball and they could give you all the information. And, you know, whoever's talking at the time, you go, oh, wow, they got some good points. And then the other side, like, oh, I know. All I know is that there's been a long con going on and that could be a part of it. But I also think that if right now, if we did breaking news on the show, that the government comes out and says the earth is flat, nothing will change in anyone's life. It will still go on the same way. And no one cares. And I just, it's not my thing. I love Eddie Bravo. I go on the road with him. You know, I call him, you know, jiu-jitsu Jesus. And that's his thing. And I respect it. And there's a lot of great arguments to it. But that's not my thing. And until we really get that far up to see it, I don't know if we'll ever really know. But most people just don't care. And that's fine with me. But I think I definitely think we live in some kind of simulation, a false reality, and that Matrix. You can manipulate energy.
Like Matrix type of shit?
Yeah.
Sam, we have to go because we have our next guest coming. I know. We started late.
I know. It's I know. All good, dude. Real quick, Matt, can I ask one question?
Yes.
Sure.
Everybody on YouTube hates Krav Maga. What is your thoughts?
Oh, I know. Listen, I don't hate Krav Maga. I don't, to tell you the truth, I don't know too. I haven't studied it too much. I know there's a lot of eye poking going on and stuff like that. You know, I don't know. Listen, I think it's cool, but I have not studied enough. I'm a jiu-jitsu man. I own a jiu-jitsu school. I was there this morning showing how to take limbs. I love it. I live it. I breathe it. I feel it's I love it for self-defense, from men to women to children.
Can 50-year-old start jiu-jitsu? Can 50-year-old start jiu-jitsu? Honestly.
100%. Dude, I got guys in my school 60 years old, 62 years old. Shit. Oh, they're in their 60s. I'm going to start an over 40 class just so they don't have to always go with the young bulls. But it's still 100%. I mean, listen, and I love Eddie to death. Eddie's known for the rubber guard. You're talking about being flexible. Dude, I'm flexible still, but dude, that could be hard for anybody. You might have to stick to the lockdowns and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you
that's know? What I'm going to have to do.
You know, but jiu-jitsu can adapt to your body type. Just because somebody can't do the maybe the rubber guard or some flexible stuff. Doesn't mean I can't do jujitsu. But I do love Krav Maga. I think it's awesome that you're training. And if Jimmy calls me up tomorrow and goes, Matt, I'm doing Krav Maga, I go, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you should try it. It's the, I mean, it's the best first strike. And you can learn some really quick stuff very, very quickly. Some simple stuff very quickly. You should try it. I love it. It flies.
You should, Jimmy.
Okay.
And the chicks are hot.
I want to do something. I want to take something. And I'm sorry we have to go. We got backed up because we started late.
It's all good, dude. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Jimmy, are you going to be in LA at all?
I was out there twice doing these Whitney roasts. I'm hoping that by the end of January or early February, back out.
Hit me up. I do a big show in the main room. I'd love to have you in it.
Oh, I would love to, man. And before we let you go, where can people see you if they want to come in and they want to see you or check out your podcast with Eddie?
SamTripoli.com has all my dates. I'm getting back on the road again. And just go SamTripoli.com. You'll find out. I have 7 podcasts. You can find all 7 of them.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, man, and being patient with us today.
Thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan. Thank you, guys.
Sam, if you're visiting New York in Long Island, I know there's, governors or whatever else, Paramount. If you ever want to, I have a school out here. If you ever want to knock off some rust, do some jiu-jitsu.
I'll come by. I'm there in mid-February. And Jimmy, I know you guys got to go. You got to play my club in New Jersey, the Dojo at TIFFs. You got.
I never even heard of it. Yeah, I play it. Sure.
Love to have you there. We'll give you the best door deal you could possibly get, and you'll make a nice crippaloo.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll touch base about it because I've never heard of it until you just said that.
Can I ask the late contact if I can get your email? And we'll
Obviously, you can definitely.
Guys, you got a guest waiting. Come on. I got
to
go.
Good talking to you, buddy.
Sam, nice to meet you, man. Nice to meet you.
All right, guys. I love you.
Take care, Sam.
Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I was enjoying that. I enjoy your comedian friends and the comedians in general.
He's a very interesting guy.
You know, I do.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy talking to those guys.
I am a silly person myself, Jimmy.
Yes, you are. We should bring Forrest Griffin in. We don't want to keep the great Forrest Griffin waiting. There he is.
Oh, hello. Hello, Mr. Griffin.
What's happening?
Hi, buddy.
What's up?
Good to see you guys.
Hall of Famer.
What's going on, guys? Am I getting bumped because you guys are having like an Earth is flat conversation or what?
Oh, did you hear that shit?
No. Am I supposed to be on now? And they were like, no, we're bumping you for us. The Earth may be flat.
No, we started late.
No worries. What's happening, guys? Good to see you.
Man, Forrest, good to see you, man. And I'll tell you, it's been a rough couple of weeks. MMA related. Heard some bad news about Long Island native Phil Baroni the other day.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, I know you heard about that too. He's in some trouble in Mexico. And that was disturbing, you know. And I know that guy a long time and he was never a good guy. And, you know, but it's still, you hear about this and it's shocking. People could go Google Phil Baroni or put him in YouTube. You'll see what happened. It was very depressing, allegedly, what happened. And also, Stefan Bond, there it is. I'm bringing up
just as you mentioned, Stefan, the lights go out.
I'm bringing up your old friend and the fucking lights go off.
That's right.
That was creepy right there. And listen, Stefan Bonner, you know, you guys are linked forever with your classic fight that pretty much just changed the course of where this sport was headed. I mean, I remember fighting back in the day, Forrest, thinking, all right, this I'll take it for this much because I know it's going to be banned soon. And I'm going to tell my kids I used to fight in the thing that they used to have in a game. They would think, hey, that was the reality. It was literally, I thought every show might have been its last, you know?
So, yeah, I never thought it could be my career. You know, I wanted it to be, but I was like, well, maybe if I could fight over in Japan. And, you know, I figured I'd do it for 3 or 4 years. And then, you know, I'd be forced to get a real job. You know, I just, yeah. So we felt like we were fighting on borrowed time back then.
100%. I know exactly. The kids nowadays, it's funny. I sound like an old guy, but I am an old guy.
We are old. We're old.
We are old now. The kids, you know what it is? I still think I'm young because I was Kimura and a fucking 20-year-old earlier. But listen, you know, the kids nowadays, they're not going to realize how close this thing was to being over. And then I know.
For sure.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, listen, man, I know you're not that guy, but I'm going to be that guy for you. Your fight with Stephen Bonner, there wasn't like a social media back then. It wasn't like that. So everybody was calling people saying, yo, put on Spike Television. Look at this fight. These two guys are beating the shit out of each other.
We're talking about landlines.
Landlines!
Landlines to tell each other. You got to check this out, man.
Yeah. Right? Nowadays, it would have been a tweet. It would have been it was none of that. And for that, to have that effect. Yeah. And hold on. I should be thanking you for this whole Ultimate Fighter thing. It changed my fucking life, Ultimate Fighter.
Champ.
My first Ultimate Fighter was a dud. Shit, yeah. Man. The fuck would I be doing?
You know, and that's the thing. It was right. It was like, you know, it came on after the pro wrestling. So they were actually trying to catch the pro wrestling crowd. And it was like, you know, just popular enough. And then the story is the Fertittas were down 34 million. And they put 10 million more into the show. You know, they bought the airtime, right? They bought the airtime. That's why they had such weird sponsors. That's why there's UFC waters. They couldn't get any sponsors for the thing, you know? And, you know, I remember on the show, producers were talking and saying, this thing might never see the light of day. And I was like, does that mean what I think it means? Like, we're doing this for nothing. And I was like, well, I got to train with Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell. So it was worth it. You know, I was already like, might not make it. But, and then, you know, me and Stefan fought and they did the deal for the second season in the parking lot by the trucks, you know, the trailers that send the broadcasts around the world on a napkin. And I always wonder what's happened with that napkin and handshake. And, you know, I've gotten to hear that story from Lorenzo. So that's pretty damn cool when you hear that. And Stefan was obviously a part of that. And I think, you know, working with him, and I was just looking back at all the stuff we've done together. We were so similar, yet so different, you know, the perfect yin and yang, right? Two very, you know, college educated, normal guys, you know, kind of mid athletic range, you know, tough, but not like tattooed, angry tough, you know, we don't have face tattoos for crying out loud. We were just everyday people. And you see those guys fighting, you're just like, well, yeah, those are just normal guys. They're not juiced up. They're not even that muscular. What, I could do that, you know? And now, so I was hoping like, you know, the Jeremy Horn thing, you know, I saw Jeremy Horn and I was like, I'm in better shape than that guy. I could probably do that then. He's so good, you know? So I was always so happy about that.
So when you walk around and you see what it's become, do you kind of feel like on some level, like I had something to like something real to do with this being what I'm looking at?
I look at it this way, right? Like I was drinking water out of a hole I didn't dig. You know, the guys like Matt Serra did, you know, the Din Thomases, Dan Severn, all the people that came before us. But then me and Stefan got to contribute. You know, we have a link in that chain that got us from there to here. You know, we're a big part of that. And that's, you know, that's a very cool thing. And, you know, it's not something I talk about a lot, but this is obviously the appropriate time to talk about it.
You found out, how'd you find out about his passing? And
so, his wife texted me on Christmas Eve and said, call me. And, you know, I called and I found out. And, you know, I was really glad. We had just done a seminar together not too long before. So I knew he was still banged up. But, you know, I'll take you through it. He went to work, you know, like was there at 9. He had a meeting. He was supposed to dial in at 10 o'clock. He didn't dial in for it. And the guy was texting him, hey, bro, are we on at 10 or was it 11 or whatever? And they went into his office around, 12:40 to say, hey, we're all leaving for lunch. And he was slumped over on his desk, like, you know, like a kid would take a nap in school. And I thought, oh, you know, Stefan gets up early. He must be tired taking a nap. And they tried to wake him and he was gone. You know, they called the ambulance and whatnot. They don't know the cause of death. They initial autopsy, no drugs or alcohol. Stefan actually been off drugs, alcohol, pain pills and all that for years and years. Now, what was it, like a year ago, he posted those crazy videos. Remember that? And a lot of people have referenced that. And I want to address that. So I actually did go and I saw him. And so he broke two vertebrae in his spine. He got, I forget what they call it, an abscess on his spine. He got sepsis. And so he was not in his right mind at all. Like I went and we put him in a hot tub and he couldn't physically get out. Like I had to get in, like in my clothes to get him out. He was, you know, he had a broken spine, literally, you know, like Mike Tyson. And so they wanted to do immediate emergency surgery when his wife took him and they readmitted him. They wanted to do emergency surgery. He was like, man, I don't want any more trauma. So he ended up staying in the hospital for 1 month. So those medical bills will get you. He was in the hospital for 1 month with tubes and all that. They got it cleared out. And then he was at home with medical care and a PICC line for another 7 weeks. So that's, I mean, that's when you saw him shoot those videos and post them, he was not there. You know, when you have that kind of spinal infection, you're gone. And, you know, I visited him in the hospital, maybe 2 weeks after that, it's fine. You know, he's fine. And I'm just really glad that we got to do a seminar together. We actually had an appearance coming up. You know, we would always find like cool stuff to do together, just an excuse to, you know, to make a little money, but just a reason to hang out. And that was always our thing. You know, we'd have like 5 minutes and then we just fall into our old routine where, you know, we're kind of yin and yang and cracking each other up, you know, taking shots at each other. So that was, you know, that's something I'll always miss. And I just, you know, you really can't underemphasize his role in the sport. You know, he did a lot. Just that show, just his personality on that show. You know, I've had so many people reach out to me and say, like, I couldn't figure out if he was really nice or if he was a dick. You know, that's Stefan. You couldn't. You didn't know. But, yeah, you know. And ironically, he passed away at a funeral home he was working at. So, again, just that's Stefan for you, right?
And you got to feel good knowing like that you have, when someone dies, it's nice to know that you have a relationship with them that's complete. Like there's nothing that's been left unsaid. You're on good terms.
I was lucky we got that last seminar together. I was very, very happy that happened.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm sorry to hear it. Was he aware of what a big part of everything he was? How did he see it from what you knew?
Well, you know, I read an article and, you know, he did because he was, you know, he was in Chicago and they were having like these viewing parties for The Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, in true Stefan fashion, he goes and the viewing parties for The Ultimate Fighter, which he happens to be on, and they wouldn't let him in without charging him a cover. So, no, this is back 2005. It's like typical can't catch a break. But, yeah, no, he knew. And then, you know, he never got knocked out. He fought Anderson. He fought John Jones. He fought me. He fought anybody. Never backed down from a fight. You know, and you know, he did everything you can do in the sport, you know. He worked hard. He was a good guy. Even the Anderson fight, right? He took that on 6 weeks' notice. He's been doing pro wrestling. He was never planning on fighting again. He hadn't been training fighting. He'd been down in Florida trying to learn how to pro wrestle, which, you know, is not the best thing on a 40-year-old body is to pick up pro wrestling. I got nothing against pro wrestling if you're in your 20s and you started and you kind of learned those moves. I got nothing against rolling if you're 1,000 years old like Matt Serra, but don't start at 40. Start a new sport at 40. It's too late.
I remember calling him because he was a big underdog, obviously. So I could kind of relate with that. And I remember calling him for that. I called him for that fight and he was so cool. Oh, Matt Serra. His voice is very distinct.
Yeah.
He was just great. You know, he's thanking me for the call and this and that. And he was just, Matter of fact, I think I told Jimmy, like, we were coming back from Abu Dhabi. That time I got that thing with Diego's coach, he was with Diego and them.
Yeah, he cornered him.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking, and I always got along with Stefan, so we were talking a little bit about what happened. And we were in the front of the plane. So I don't know what happened, but he wasn't in the first class, but he was bullshitting with me. The only reason I was is because I was doing the show with Dana. But so then all of a sudden, they're like, all right, the flight attendant comes over and goes, I'm sorry, sir. Can you both take your seats? So Stefan's like, oh, okay. He sits down next to me in first class. He's like, hey, Sarah, this is pretty good, huh? Thank Uncle Dana for this. So we sat like 13 hours, 14 hours from Abu Dhabi. He stayed up first class with me. And we just, you know, we hung out the whole time. So that's my last memory of him, you know. It was fun. It was funny.
Well, the lady told him to sit down. You know, she said, sit down. It's so you don't mess with flight attendants.
That's like a bad kid. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, hey, sir. He's moving the pillow over. He's like, this is really funny. It was funny. Awesome. That's my last memory of Stefan Bonner. You know,
that's a good one.
So does the UFC have you? Every time I visit the PI. Bars is always like, it's always like he's like moving to like a next meeting. He always looks like he's got something going on. Yeah, I mean, are you a workaholic, Forrest? Could you not sit still? How are you on Sunday? You chill?
You know, I stress about work when I'm not here. I don't have like this whole mental whatever thing. I'm not down with that. You know, if I'm not working, I'm stressed about the work I'm not doing, you know? And, you know, UFC... You know the people that work here, right? So the staff, they work just as hard as the fighters. You know, there's no fight camps don't give a crap about a holiday. You know, there's no holidays. You know, you're 6 weeks out from a fight. Christmas is just a meal. It's some gifts, but you got to go to the gym. You got to work. And one of my fondest memories, one of my favorite memories, and I really felt better than everybody, is when I was training on Christmas Day. And I couldn't get anybody to give me like a solid block of time. So I trained with one guy for an hour and then he left. And then another guy came in and, you know, so I get like an hour, a half hour out of the guy. I would just kind of stack him up. And then I would go back and work out with this guy for an hour, 2 hours later. And I was, you know, I was like running through training partners. It was actually, you know, it's a fond memory. But, you know, the other thing is I'm very inefficient in my work. So I always am working. I have no choice.
Are you panicky a lot? Like, I'm always afraid I'm going to get fired from everything I do. Do you have that thing? Like, if I'm not fucking, I have to do it now or they're going to realize I suck and fire me.
No, I don't have that. I'm going to be all right. But you should probably keep that mentality.
It's always there, dude. It's always there.
No, it's not even that I'm worried about getting fired. I'm not getting fired. It's that I'm worried that I know that the job's going to get done, and it's going to get done when it's going to get done. And if I want to have input in the final products, I better get in it now. Otherwise, and this has happened where you step away for a week and you don't respond to some emails fast enough, the ball's going to keep moving. And if you're not a part of it, it's going to go on without you, without your input, and without the way that you wanted it to be. So that's why I'm always careful to be around and not make vacations too long. It's just a culture too, you know, which I mean, I don't mind.
And you like the job. It's easy when you like it.
Yeah. I think you gotta have that, you know, I was obsessive about martial arts and watching every fight back then, you know what, nothing's changed, right? It's just a new way that I, just new motivation to watch every fight, understand what's happening, know where everybody's from, know what they're doing, know what their training looks like. You know, I just, you know, I want to know people doing stuff and I don't know.
You have different like projects going on, or is it like one set thing? You're having this role. You're like, all right, we have this coming up. We're opening up this. Is it all different roles? And some
no, really we have tons of projects, you know, from the RT UFC finals, which is going to be out here in Vegas, February 4th. To opening a Mexico a Performance Institute in Mexico City, to, you know, just, you know, basic, well, a lot of projects are not public yet too, but, you know, and then there's the 30th anniversary, right? So this is the 30th, you know, 2023, I got the shirt on that says 93. So then you've got all those projects and yeah, you know, there's projects and then there's your day-to-day, which is the meat and potatoes, actually making sure that the athletes and the PI get what they're supposed to get. And they're just that they know it's available.
30 years,
yeah.
Before that, nobody knew what the fuck worked. I think the karate guy could beat up that guy. They don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
Yeah, and as Stefan would say, Bruce Lee always wins. Every conversation you have, Bruce Lee always wins. That we talk about that. Well, Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, he's like Bruce Lee. I was like, he's like 5'7", a buck 40, always wins.
When you go down to Mexico, are you going down there and setting up the PI? Are you like, is that kind of what part of your project is?
Yeah. I mean, that's the project, right? And there's three of us that are doing it. So I definitely got my work cut out for me.
So you're going down and you'll spend a week down there, whatever you got to do. And then
probably 5 or 6.
Oh, in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just stay down
initial times. And then, you know, once we kick it off, I want to be there for the first month, probably go a week before we open, get it dialed in and then stay for the first month. That's what I did in China. You know, I used to before COVID spend a month over there every year, just to make sure that it is, you know, the best for the fighters and understand like the systems and kind of help with that. Yeah.
Do you like doing that? Like, do you like leaving? Like, I like going on the road for work, even though I'm not gone for a month. There's something about it that I'm like, fuck, I'm doing great. Like, they paid my expenses for me to come to this place and do something. Yeah. It just feels like productive. Do you like being away or do you miss your family or what?
Well, of course I miss my family and it gets rough. And every night I'm like, why am I doing this again? But there's less distractions, right? You're in a hotel room, so you're working and it's great, right? So I actually get a lot of work done when I travel because, you know, I don't have my routine. I don't see my family. I'm missing all those little things. I'm not going to doctor's appointments. I don't have to pick up groceries. You just got to work and work some more. So when I do go on the road, I'm quite productive, at least, unless I'm jet lagged and then I'm just worthless.
Yeah. Yeah. How long does it take you to get over that normally?
I'm going to tell you, I went to Abu Dhabi. I'm jinxing myself right here, but I went to Abu Dhabi and Singapore this year or last year. I didn't get jet lag from either. Not on the way there, not on the way back.
Well, can you sleep on planes?
No, I don't sleep on planes.
You mean, you know what you do? You take, when you get to your hotel, you take your shoes and socks off and you walk around when you crunch your feet around. That's from Die Hard. I'm not going to
Die Hard. Die Hard.
Thank you. It's from Die Hard. And that's why he got all the glass in his feet. Man, well, that his fucking feet. Asshole. Yeah. That asshole on the plane told him. That fucking tip.
I take a hot shower. First thing, take a hot shower. And then I just move around a little bit. You know, 20 minutes of light aerobic exercise. Every time. And the other thing is don't eat big meals on the plane.
Oh, I snack.
Yeah. Well, I'm a wicked snacker. I love to snack.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know how guys, I'm not that big. I'm wide, but I don't know how, like, my brother-in-law is 300 pounds. I don't know how these motherfuckers, how do they use the bathrooms in these things? Because I have a stomach problem and I'm in that fucking bed. I'm like, And then I try to I don't want to give a visual, but I can't even clean properly.
I was so glad. Hey, you know what? I was worried that we wouldn't talk about shit in this conversation. I'm glad you got that in there. I was worried. I was like, wait. You know, we're talking about stuff. Will shit come up? Yes, it has. All right.
Always, yes.
I got stomach issues, Forrest. Anyway, listen, I'm excited for the up this year. This is fucking new year. I'm excited for everything UFC, especially UFC Unfiltered, because I think we're going to have Forrest on a bunch. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I can talk about the earth being flat. It's not. I mean, but I can pretend it is if you guys need to.
That's a rough one.
That's a really rough one. Yeah, that's a rough one to go with.
If the earth was flat, the Russians would have told everybody just to make the Americans look bad. Trust me.
And then where the fuck is Australia then? Is it just how it are they just you keep I going left?
Where is it? Is it Bali or I forget? Bali's in Indonesia. There's one of them. What's the thing by Australia, but it's not really by anything?
Some
paradise.
New Zealand?
No, it's not Indonesia.
No. Yeah, there's something over there that I still can't figure out how people go there, where it is. I think it might actually be a mistake. It's not even a real place. It's made up.
it just freaks me out when they're telling us we're on something flat, because then I'm like, I don't I'm a simpleton.
But you want to know something crazy?
What?
I'll tell you something crazier. Space is expanding.
Oh, is that real now, or is that a tinfoil?
Yeah, space is like expanding. Yeah. What does that even mean? I don't understand.
Somebody said that. Is that the new thing?
What that means?
I don't know, man. I like the good old days when they were like, I believe in Bigfoot. I'm like, but now
we got 9 planets, guys. 9 planets.
8.
Now we got 8 planets and a dwarf moon or some nonsense. What is this? No.
Yeah, Pluto stinks. Pluto stinks.
Pluto's my guy. Pluto's my guy.
I've never liked Pluto, and I was happy it got booted out of the fucking planet lineup. I had had enough of Pluto.
Well, you and I have nothing in common, man.
We have a lot in common, but we part ways on Pluto. That's all it is. We have a lot in common.
Oh, let me ask you. Where did you come up with this Fun Fact Friday? I like it. I like it. You're a regular Snapple bottle, you.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I'm always saying stupid stuff around the house. And then my wife was like, Fun Fact Friday for us, you know? So it was my wife's idea, of course, you know?
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
What's a fun fact?
Well, fun fact, the universe is currently expanding.
Yes, that I knew. We're still exploding, kind of.
If you say so.
Yeah.
Where do you come up with these fun facts, though? Do you
so
like...
I've got this thing. I'll tell you. I've got this thing. It's called the internet.
Oh.
And it's crazy. You could, like, look anything up on it.
Oh, so you just think, where's your idea? So every Friday comes, you're like, all right, I got my magic.
Every Friday, once a month, I do one. That'll give you, it's usually like every time I go somewhere, I see a cool animal or I do something, I'm like, what's an interesting fact about this? You know?
But have you, because the internet is so amazing, but there's also so much bullshit. Have you gotten caught thinking like, this will be a fun fact? And then you go, oh, fuck, it's not even true.
No, I'm still waiting. I'm sure it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I'm excited. That's gonna happen. That will probably, when I mess up, that will probably be the post that get the most responses. Because people love to tell you what they're wrong. People come out of the woodwork. People I never heard of, never posted to me before. Hey, Forrest, you're wrong about that. That's not how it works.
People love telling someone they fucked up.
I like putting stuff on the internet. You find out right away if you're wrong. And then people tell you you're wrong, and I'm like, cool, prove it. And then they'll send me an article, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I gotcha.
Did you ever hear of Jeet Kune Do having a belt system?
Jeet Kune Do being Bruce Lee's kind of martial art? No, never.
No, they don't. Do they have a belt system?
I don't know.
I'm not attacking you. I thought they did.
Jeet Kune Do, that was
no way as the way. No way as the way.
Yeah, but that was kind of like what Matt Thornton and Straight Blast Jim kind of came off of, was Jeet Kune Do, right?
Well, Straight Blast, that's the old chain punch.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
That shit don't fucking work.
I will tell you, Vitor Belfort made the Straight Blast work many times.
Yeah, listen to me. Bravo, motherfucker. Because I was talking about this with Ray Longo like 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I brought that up to Ray Longo. And he goes, there it is, the chain punch, Straight Blast, Vitor. So the fact that, you know, you're probably as old as me, and you're an old school guy, you're the only guy to make that fucking reference, but I love it. That's true. He actually gives the Wing Chun a fucking shot. The best is this. When people go to me, because they know I used to practice Wing Chun before I found jiu-jitsu. And then one time I was with Roy Nelson, and we were up. I like Roy Nelson a lot. We were doing a Q&A at, like, I think it was one of the fan expos thing. And they, these Jeet Kune Do, these no, no, these Wing Chun couple. There was like a husband and wife. I think they were wearing the uniforms. Maybe they weren't, but in my mind they were. And they asked me, and they go, you have kung fu backgrounds. So Roy Nelson was saying, yes, I love the kung fu. And then they asked me, and I'm like, it's hard for me to, I don't like to guide people in the wrong direction. If they're thinking something's going to work, then they get into a real situation, get their ass handed to them. So I'm like, I try to push them towards jiu-jitsu or a combat art that's realistic. This is what I do. If somebody asks me about Wing Chun, I go, you put in 2 Wing Chun masters. and you put the there's videos of them fighting in YouTube. It starts off like something out of fucking Yip Man, and next thing you know, they're on the floor like the worst two white belts you ever seen. Fucking, it's fucking horrendous.
Well, I always thought that about capoeira, because I've seen a lot of capoeira guys that start in MMA, and they start every fight with the Jenga, maybe spin kick, and maybe that's still there a little bit. And I think capoeira is great for movement too, like movement, balance, control, that spinning heel kick, beautiful. But every person that does capoeira, when they actually are in an MMA fight with open rules, they start fighting. They look like an MMA fighter that throws one or two good kicks, you know?
It's true. The guy, the closest guy to make it look anything is Alex Pereira. Wait, no. Michelle Pereira.
Oh, yeah.
They knew it was a Pereira.
For sure.
You know, he can make that shit work. If I was back at the clubs, I would fucking do all that shit. Sorry.
I would challenge you with this, though. How much does he do that in the second and third rounds? In the first round, he's all about it. But in the second and third rounds, once he gets tired, it's less and less and more him just trying to throw some punches.
It is true.
As far as do a backflip on your face.
By the way, as we were talking, when you guys are talking, I'm looking at Wing Chun Master versus Bullies. Wing Chun in the street.
So
there's a video people can watch if they. I don't know. I'm just this. It's just like, it seems like a lot of staged or it doesn't seem like it's fighters against bullies. It seems like fighters against fighters in staged settings. It doesn't seem like it's anything real happening.
What about this, Matt Sarah? What about Wing Chun versus Untrained?
How about Untrained? Now, is it untrained? What, a middle school wrestler? How about that? That's trained. No,
I just mean like a guy that lifts weights and saw Rocky 3 times, so he thinks he's tough.
Listen, I like Wing Chun is it's trapping. So for trapping, you know, it's very in close, and the mechanics on their strikes, unless you do a well. Nice elbow and it cuts somebody if they're a bong sao. But that 1-inch punch shit, the mechanics on the Western boxing is way more practical, I feel. Just your hips, your torso, the way you twist, the way you throw a punch, the mechanics, it develops more power. My father used to fuck around too. Hey, hold the phone book and let me beep, beep, get the fuck out of here. I mean, I don't like it. And it's fun. I'll still with my 13-year-old. We'll do trapping drills until our shoulders get a little heavy. You know, we'll play with the bong sows, the pock sows. It's fun.
You know what I like about them? I like that little bit of smack, smack, smack. Yes. When you smack forearms again and again, I feel like that's kind of a good for you, you know? Kind of like, almost like the speed bag in boxing. Like, do you ever punch anybody like this?
That's funny. No. It's true. No, I get you for your shoulders. And I'll tell you what, I did a little bit. I did like a season of wrestling in middle school. I'm used to calling it middle school. I used to always say junior high, but my kids make fun of me. But anyway, I did back on my front lawn versus my dad's old partner, Mike. We were playing around and I did a chain punch into a double leg back when I was 15 years old. So
you invented mixed martial arts is what you're saying.
I
did.
Yeah.
You invented mixed martial arts on your lawn.
Forrest said it.
You were there. You invented mixed martial arts.
Well, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I did do a chain punch straight blast into a double leg in 89.
That sounds like mixed martial arts to me.
Yeah.
On that note, Forrest, what else you want to promote? What's going on? Talk to us.
Nothing, man. I'm just here living, you know, just, you know, trying to stay off social media. I guess if I had a New Year's thingamajig, that would be it. People say a lot of stupid shit that they don't really know what they're talking about. Yeah. And what they don't realize is, you know, the people you're talking about have families, you know, your wives and children. And if you're going to say stuff about people when you don't really know what you're saying. There are people out there that are going to, you know, that are going to be hurt by it. Right. So, you know, if you don't know a thing, don't talk about a thing, but you know,
I got off Twitter ages ago. I wouldn't even have to sign into that fucking thing. Twitter was the worst, I feel. I think Twitter is just an easy way for somebody's feelings to get hurt.
So I post, but I don't look. Post, but I don't look. It's true. I got that.
Ghost.
Yeah. Posting ghosts. Yeah. I like that.
That's pretty much what I do too. I post out dates and like videos, whatever I want to do to promote something. But yeah, I don't check the at mentions, and I don't really care, because you know, most of it is these weird sex bots anyway that are like, hey, do you want to chat? And they spell chat with three A's. It's just, there's nothing good on it. So I thought it's pretty easy to not check.
Yeah, I don't get those. That must be something you got going on.
Very possible. I probably bought that on myself.
You know, I'm sitting in my office in the dark too, so I guess I can't really talk.
Yeah.
Jimmy's looking forward to the future when there's real sex bots.
Yeah. Woo. Goodness gracious.
All right, Forrest. Well, look, good talking to you, man, and happy new year, and we'll talk to you soon,
buddy. Poop and sex bots with you guys, as always. Absolutely. So thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it, and happy new year, guys. I'm excited. It's going to be a good one. 2023. Yeah.
It's going to be a great year, man. Happy New Year, Forrest Griffin. Take care, brother. Later, Forrest.
All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
We love you.
Talk to you soon, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, Matt, this was it was good having Sam Tripoli and Forrest in the first show. I'm glad we finally got it off the ground and everything worked out.
Jimmy, I had a blast. And next week, we're back. We're back. The boys.
We are back.
I didn't sing all. Oh, by the way, Jimmy.
Yes,
by
buddy.
The way, I took a picture of this because I wanted to remember it. What's and it? We're going to go now. Jimmy, I'm a little hurt. Well, ready? You may want to see what's up with Jim. On Jim and Sam, he's quick to break into a song, but he refuses to duet with you. While here, I will recommend a few movies. Oh, he's recommended movies. But thank you. Thank you to whoever this was, Chen's Collectibles. So listen, hey, Chen, I'm with you, man. I like to sing. I like to have a good time. I'm not fucking Sam Roberts. I don't know what they're singing about. Oh, by the way, I heard they replayed our show the other day when I was on, because several people, yep. Not one, not two.
Several.
Speed it up. Several people reached out, Jimmy, and they enjoyed my appearance on the Jim and Sam show.
Ah. Yes, it was a great one. I remember it.
Oh, well, I was kind of waiting for that at the end.
It was great. I mean, come on. It was Natasha Leggero and yes. You. I forget who else. Was it Voss on there too?
Well, yes, Voss was on there. I'm glad you forgot him, but yes. And yes, I will come back on your show.
We would love to have you anytime.
Jimmy. All right, Jim, what do you want to plug, bro?
I got coming to Dallas and Fort Worth, the 13th and 14th. Thank you to all the people who came New Year's Eve. The Levity Live was incredible. And I'm going to March 4th, Huntington, Long Island. I'll see Matt. And then April, I'm in Cleveland, the 21st, 22nd. That's it.
That Paramount. The yep. Paramount.
I say that. Can't Paramount. Wait. Paramount Theater.
7 minutes from Sarah BJJ, Huntington.
Oh, perfect. I'll stop in.
SarahBJJAcademy.com. All right, Jimmy, man. I also do cameos, and I'm also known for having a good time. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Okay, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody. Happy New Year.
Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.